of the neutron bomb, in spite of conservative, Democratic, and Republican opposition. The Israelis refuse to comply with the withdrawal demands of the United Nations from Lebanon. This brings about a strong indictment against the Israelis by Kurt Waldheim, United Nations Executive Secretary. Lord Carradine, who is Chief British Delegate to United Nations Security Council, drafted its landmark Resolution 242 on Israeli security and Palestinian rights, has called upon the Council to update the resolution so as to ensure Palestinian self-determination on territories seized by Israel. Carradine's call, contained in a recent article in The Nation magazine, came amid attempts by Israeli fascist premier Menachem Begin to reinterpret the resolution denying what it calls for, that it calls for withdrawal of occupying forces from the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Filipino dictator Marcos has ordered the army and the police to break up all demonstrations. The opposition party that was being led by a senator who has been held for 5 years without trial by the dreaded Marcos regime, who now has the favored support of Cesar Chavez of the Farm Workers Union in the United States. The election, which was contrived and fraudulent, of course, went in favor of the dictator Marcos in the Philippine Islands, in the Pacific Ocean. Marcos, as you know, has murdered some 50,000 opponents in the last year, including his own best supporters, 5 millionaires. Indeed, there is no security in capitalism. Only a communist society promises security, as we have 1,000 strong this morning to guarantee that we will eat, 1,000 strong guaranteeing medical care. That is, there should be anyway, those that would go out and give their bodies any way necessary to protect the family. At this point, it is Father that has risen always to the need by, through the years, saving every penny he could scratch into a buffer that will last certainly months if we were cut off from all funds. Unemployment, the news says in the background, is at an unprecedented high. The trade deficit continues to be startling to U.S. economic authorities. We're having to import in the United States due to the erosion of lands, the lack of production, unemployment. We're importing more than we are selling, creating a very difficult situation that most say will most certainly eventually lead to total economic collapse of the capitalist system. The campaign against the neutron bomb currently underway throughout Europe emerge dramatically when President Carter has been forced by 150,000 petitioners to acknowledge it on public television and say that he will stay the production of the monstrous evil weapon that kills all human and animal life but does not touch property. Property. Is the God. Is the God indeed of capitalism. Cluster bombs and a personnel weapons have been used by the Israelis in Lebanon. Each bomb throws tens of thousands of pieces of shrapnel in civilian communities. The Menachem Begin regime of fascist Israel refuses to change its expansionist tendencies. Eugene Proper, Assistant U.S. Attorney on Monday, showed Chilean government officials evidence collected in the U.S. which identifies the two persons now believed to have carried out September 1 assassination of opposition leader, good friend of People's Temple, who had prophetically warned to not go to Washington, Orlando Letelier in Washington, D.C. The two, Michael Townsley, an exile from the U.S., and Chilean Army, Captain Armando Fernandez, were issued visas to enter the U.S. at a Chilean government request a few weeks before Letelier and associate Ronnie Motif were killed. Proper is said to have conveyed a State Department request to have the two questioned before a judge. In a related development, it was announced Tuesday that General Contreras, a confidant of the Chilean dictator, dreaded dictator, who was put in power by our merciless CIA, Augusto Pinochet, has resigned his army commission. General Manuel Contreras, once a powerful force in the ruling military junta, was head of the National Intelligence Directorate, DINA, at the time of the Letelier assassination carried out by the Chilean CIA in conjunction with the USA CIA. A statement issued on Friday by the Ethiopian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the great new socialist black government in the Horn of Africa, said peace can be secured in the area of the Horn of Africa only if the leaders of Somalia, without any conditions attached, abandon any claim to parts of Ethiopia and Kenya, as well as Djibouti, the statement concluded. The Ethiopian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is resolutely rejecting the attempts by the U.S. multinationals and government and its allies to interfere in the solution of matters which fell under Ethiopia's sovereignty. Those are, in particular, attempts to link Somalian troops' withdrawal with the presence in Ethiopia of military personnel rightfully invited by the Ethiopian government from Cuba and the Soviet Union, as well as the proposal to send foreign observers to Ethiopia. All those attempts are tantamount to an interference in the internal affairs of the socialist Ethiopian black nation. They are unacceptable to Ethiopia and cannot serve the cause of establishing peace. The Cuban foreign minister warns the Somalian regime and the USA and Egypt that there will be no toleration for any further attempts to invade the Ethiopian territory. A Pan-African news agency embracing 49 African and Arab countries is expected to be in operation by the end of the year, a spokesperson for the Kenyan International Information Ministry said this week. A statement issued here this week by the leadership of the Communist Party of Israel, called the Raqqa, said bitter experience shows that holding on to occupied Arab territory, whether in the Sinai, in the West Bank and Gaza, or in the Golan Heights, has not given Israel security, despite what is claimed by the government. The statement issued by the Communist Party's Central Committee condemned the recent Palestinian commando raid into Tel Aviv, saying the attack helps Begin and his government to divert public opinion in Israel and the world from its own deeds that are sabotaging peace efforts. The United States warned Mexico that this countries joining OPEC might bring about trade reprisals, tourist boycotts, and credit restrictions. In an article in Foreign Policy, a publication put out by the U.S. State Department, Professor George Grayson disclosed that Mexico's joining OPEC, which also Venezuela has taken independence of USA, and refusing to find U.S. policy as her own. But anyway, it disclosed that Mexico's joining OPEC, State Department said, might be punished with a boycott similar to the one that took place in 1975 to keep tourists from traveling to Mexico. As you know, Synanon, the only other cooperative left in California besides ours, had to run away, leaving its property, some of it with us, and flee to Mexico. Grayson said Mexico's foreign debt makes this nation further exposed to threats. Of the underdeveloped countries that are not members of OPEC, together with Brazil, Mexico has a greater debt on the world market than any other. Nicaraguan dictator Anastasio Somoza is using U.S. mercenary pilots to attack the growing armed resistance movement in that Central American country, charged Nicaraguan exiles in San Jose, Costa Rica. The exiles said that the nationwide spirit of revolt against the Somoza tyranny has infected even the Nicaraguan Air Force, which the dictator no longer trusts and is grounded. The places of regular Nicaraguan Air Force pilots have been taken by U.S. mercenaries bought by Somoza under the cover of technicians and consultation experts to Lanica Airlines, the exile said. When a dictator of many 40 years cannot even trust his own Air Force, it shows there is no security in capitalism. Nationwide demonstrations in the United States to free the Wilmington 10 have brought no response from either Governor James Hunt of North Carolina or President Jimmy Carter, who seems to choose to ignore the entire situation. A spurt in youth unemployment from 27.9% to 28.5% has sparked a call for a march on the nation's capital, that is Washington, D.C. An organizer for the Youth March for Jobs Committee said, our answer to this new rise in youth unemployment in USA will be to bring thousands of youth in Washington over this very weekend, the April 8th weekend. Panama Canal Treaty is causing concern in Capitol Hill because the Prime Minister of Panama has said there have been too many amendments and it's not acceptable. The last amendment pushed through by the reactionary USA Congress was at the Mason Lodge on Panama's territory, was to be held as sovereign territory and property. This $500,000 piece of property, which remained the sovereign property of the United States. Indeed, the small but brave, valiant Panamanian people have decided that the Panama Canal Treaty, now changed so many times and abridged and amended, is unacceptable, totally unacceptable. President Carter is fearful that this will mean the failure of the Panamanian Treaty to pass the Congress in its final form next week. Right-wing economist, the man who has brought the people of Chile on official inflation rate of more than 65%, unemployment of more than 30%, even higher underemployment and extreme poverty engulfing more than 30% of the population, would now like to bring the people of California the Jarvis Gann Initiative. Milton Friedman, or Friedman, Nobel Prize winning economist and the fiscal wizard most responsible for the fascist, murderous Chilean junta's economic policies, officially endorsed the fascist initiative earlier this month. The Jarvis Gann Initiative, Proposition 13, before the voters on the June 6 ballot, would drastically limit spending and revenues by both state and local governments under the guise of providing homeowners and commercial property owners with 60% reduction in property taxes. The Jarvis Gann Initiative is directed first and foremost at social spending and public employees. It would have a devastating impact on public education in this state. I strongly favor the Jarvis Gann Amendment, said Friedman to the San Diego Union, although it is not in any way the ideal measure. Friedman would prefer Jarvis Gann to go further, not only restricting how much revenue government can raise, but more specifically restricting government spending at all. Another point, that anything which reduces the amount of money available for government to spend is a good thing, Friedman said. Let's pass Jarvis Gann and then expand the movement by moving towards a more effective type of limitation of government's growth. Lieutenant Calley has become the mayor of the small community in Georgia, where he now resides and is the most popular man in town. Though suffering from several heart attacks, apparently not quite able to live with his own guilt for murdering nearly 200 children during the My Lai offensive, not to mention adults, young adults. They were tortured and killed. We all heard of My Lai, but no one was ever really brought to trial. Lieutenant Calley lives in a $200,000 home, but as I said, perhaps a little conscience remains in him because he does not seem to have peace of mind, even though he has been freed. As always, U.S. deals very, very patiently with fascists and Nazis, but if anyone is a socialist, they're considered suspect. As always, I've been up all night and urging you to go out today to fight for our people's right to exist. We will not have our property much longer because of the evil, insidious policies you'll have to excuse. Attention. You'll have to excuse. I found myself sleeping while talking. It's been so long since I've rested. That's quite an experience to come to and find yourself asleep while talking. So I do not know the last statement of news, and if it made no sense to you, it was coming out of my sleep, though I did not drop the microphone and continued to talk. Could you describe the basic causes of economic depression under capitalism? There seems to be some disagreement on the question in socialist circles. This was an article, a question posted to the New Times. You're right. There's disagreement on the basic causes of economic crisis under capitalism, and not only in left circles. The capitalist spokesmen, by and large, have come to realize that crises are an inevitable part of their evil system, but they lack a coherent explanation and fall back on placing the blame on mistakes in government regulation of the capitalist economy. Karl Marx, the writer of the Communist Manifesto, the father of our beautiful Marxist views that have been implemented from his theories by the practitioner Lenin, thus making us Marxist-Leninists. Karl Marx's explanation of economic crises, worked out 120 years ago, has proven its absolute validity ever since. Disagreements among students to Marx's result from the fact that his analysis is not simple. Often people emphasize just one side of it, rather than considering all the main features of a balanced way. Sometimes Marxists will say economic crisis results from the contradiction between the social nature of production and the private character of appropriation. Well said. That's a true, and it's fundamental. That is true, and it's fundamental. But it's just the beginning. It isn't concrete enough to explain the phenomena. The main point in the full explanation are as follows. The driving force of capitalist production is the accumulation of wealth. The capitalist strives to get as much profit as possible in order to invest it, expand his operations, and make still more profit. Interesting news in the Atlas stated that of the capitalists that have made vast profits, less than 2% of them live beyond 55 years of age to enjoy the profits that they have bilked out of the oppressed working classes. But to collect his profits, he has to sell the goods that are produced, and the fire and the end of a significant part of those goods must be sold to the workers in every prosperity and boom period. The capitalists expand their capacity and production much faster than the wages of the workers go up. Sooner or later, the failure of the market to expand rapidly enough begins to cut into small profit margins. The capitalists, evil as they are, calculate that further expansion will cut their profit rates, and the capital goods industries becomes less active in many spheres, throwing workers out of their jobs and cuffing. Stand by.
There were less than 10 blacks, despite the fact that minority participation in
But to collect the profits, he has to sell the goods that are produced, that is, the socialist. And in the end, a significant part of those goods must be sold to the workers. In every prosperity and boom period, the capitalists expand their capacity and production much faster than the wages of the workers go up. It is suspected that the retiring commander of the Army, U.S. Air Force and Navy, Commandeer, standby, drifting off into sleep again. The commander of the United States Armed Forces, General Brown, and his supporters still persist that he was injected with cancer cells to replace him because of his anti-Zionist attitudes and anti-expansionist views that he held. Sooner or later, the failure of the market of capitalism to expand readily enough begins to put into profit margins. It cuts in badly to profit margins. The capitalists calculate that further expansion will cut their profit rates and the capital goods industries becomes less active altogether. Throwing workers out of their jobs and cutting purchasing power still further. Meanwhile, stocks of autos, clothing, and other consumer goods pile up and there are layoffs in these industries. Weaker capitalists stuck with goods they cannot sell, go bankrupt, laid off workers, unable to pay off mortgages, have their homes foreclosed, or they go crazy also. But no two crises are exactly the same. Sometimes they start in the heavy industries, sometimes in consumer goods, and other times in the financial markets. But sooner or later, in every real crisis, all parts of the economy of capitalism are involved and will be destroyed. Enough reading for the day, a commentary of the news. I'll be back midday. As I said, I've been up all night. I hope you get some highlights of the news. Secret FBI papers reveal that the Rosenbergs were murdered without one scintilla of evidence that they were spies, as they were charged and murdered, executed in the electric chair in New York. FBI files in the hands of our attorney, Charles Gary, his friend, reveal that there is a national conspiracy still going on to destroy all leaders of any influence in the Indian or black community. They have a case they're going to attempt to defend in a matter of days, proving, highlighting absolutely the efforts of the FBI to destroy those they feel are politically unpopular, as was the case with Julius Ethel Rosenberg, who left their 9 and 10 year old children alone in the world because they had no choice. They were murdered by the fascist police state even as far back as Eisenhower. Well, you've had some idea of the news. The Soviets are adamant, claiming they will use new super satellite warfare technology if USA does not permanently ban the neutron bomb. Apparently Carter is reasonably convinced, as he has backed off and holding now a temporary stay of the building of the neutron bomb. All my love, and have a very good work day. Produce out of concern for our people who are waiting on you to liberate them from hell that's indescribable. You should listen to their reports all night as I'm on the radio or listening to their reports coming in. They're books long. They've been very brave to stand there and fight because everything looks lost in the United States, and only here is there hope. Ron Dellums, the congressman, thanked us for offering sanctuary to Congressman Diggs. As he himself admitted, it was a political frame-up. Congressman Ron Dellums is a black from California. Much love. Please produce. It's the appeal of all. People's rally this evening. Let's all put our soul and mind into production so we'll have the best kind.